And you're very welcome back to the last part of this morning's edition of Lifeline with me, Carl Fennell. Now, joining me on the phone, we have Elise Nakatna. Hopefully I said that right. Good morning, Elise. How are you?
Good morning.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but you are the Advocacy and Research Manager for the Asthma Society of Ireland.
That's right.
That's great. So, World Lung Day was the 25th of September this year. And can you kind of tell us about the concerns you have about the air pollution affecting people?
Sure. So air quality would be a major issue that the Asthma Society of Ireland looks at. And we have a campaign called the Own Your Air, Own Our Air campaign. And you can imagine that for people with asthma, good air quality is really important. And air pollution is a significant problem for them. So we have an advice line here in the Asthma Society that people can call in and get advice from registered specialist nurses to ask questions about their own asthma, their children's asthma, even pupils, where teachers need advice from nurses around their pupils' asthma. So people ring in all the time looking for advice, and we often hear about people saying to us, particularly coming into the winter months now, that going out during winter months because of the burning of solid fuels and the higher levels of air pollution from that becomes difficult. Their life becomes more difficult. They've got to use their inhalers more. They can't exercise outside, and they have higher levels of exacerbation of their asthma and even hospitalizations. So this time of year is particularly important to ensure that we keep air pollution as low as possible. And unfortunately, what we found was on World Lung Day, the Environmental Protection Agency released a report. It's got 57 air quality monitoring stations around the country. And its report said that in a number of areas throughout Ireland, that the air pollution was not complying with World Health Organization guideline levels.
And
so
would
we're
this,
in trouble there.
Would this be more around cities in general or kind of like more rural areas?
It's both, actually. Yeah. So for example, there were two areas that were highlighted in the report were Bray in County Wicklow and Longford Town. And one of the issues that's really key to our campaign and actually that the Environmental Protection Agency talks about is the levels of what they call particulate matter in the air, right? So particulate matter are fine particles in the air that are released from burning of solid fuel. And you'll know that a ban was introduced of smoky coal. Do you remember that smoky coal ban? It was reduced back in the 1990s.
I vaguely remember, yeah. It's after my time.
Well, basically the reason it was introduced was that smoky coal, as they referred to it, was releasing this stuff into the air, and there were really high levels of it in the air in Dublin at the time, and it was affecting people's breathing. And it not only affects breathing but and respiratory issues like asthma, but it also has linked to things like stroke and lung cancer and so on. So it's really serious. And what we've been calling for is the introduction of a nationwide ban on smoky coal. Lots of people, particularly based in Dublin or around Dublin, think that smoky coal is gone across the country, but it's not. It's only gone in Dublin and a few other areas, by 26 towns and villages around Ireland. But lots of Ireland, you're still able to use smoky coal. And in Bray, smoky coal was banned. In Longford, it hasn't yet. And the Environmental Protection Agency's report found that the particulate matter levels in Longford were high and indeed didn't comply with WHO standards. And they are actually calling the EPA or making recommendations for people to stay indoors as much as possible during the winter months. So it's really restricting people's ability to live their lives as well as affecting their health.
So what can people do to kind of like, what alternatives can they use to, as a way to cut down on the smoky coal?
Well, I mean, there is smokeless coal available, but I suppose oftentimes what happens in these conversations is that there is an inclination to go straight to kind of personal responsibility. And of course, we can all take responsibility for doing our bit. But really what needs to happen here is that the government needs to take action. Back in 2017, the minister at the time for climate action promised to introduce a nationwide ban on smoky coal, and also promised to publish a clean air strategy, which is, I mean, doesn't it just sound lovely that the government would have a strategy and a plan in place to ensure and guarantee us all nice clean air to get into our lungs, and something you'd expect they'd be doing already. But that strategy hasn't been introduced yet, and neither has the smoky coal ban. So the Asthma Society has, last week on World Lung Day, we had sent a letter out to all Oireachtas members, so TDs and senators, highlighting the issue of smoky coal and asking them to press the minister to take action. And we've also been working with councils around the country and asking them to do the same thing, but also to look at, if possible, introducing local bans for the time being, so that people in their constituencies will be assured of clean air coming into the winter months.
And it is, obviously, as you were saying a bit, it is kind of that time of year that people are trying to stay warm in their houses, like, especially with the storm kicking in at the moment. So everyone's trying to do anything to stay warm. And is it only really, say, this time of the year that people with asthma kind of suffer from it? Or is it generally, like, if, say, if cold weather in general, or it'll be kind of certain periods in time, like I know with the pollen during the hot weather can affect people's breathing a lot?
That's right, yeah. So it depends on the time of year what the Asthma Society particularly highlights. So we'd have a time of year where we're talking about flu vaccines and the importance of flu vaccines, which is around now, and you'll start to hear more and more that there are ads coming out from the HSE, etc., advising people to get their flu vaccine, and that would include people with long-term chronic diseases like asthma. And again, with hay fever, the hay fever counter tends to be something that people with asthma come onto our website for and look for indications of how their day is going to go and what they might need in terms of their medication, depending on the levels of pollen in the air. But this time of year, it's very much about smoky coal. And also another kind of key piece of work that we're doing at the moment is reaching out to parents and to teachers to ensure that children going to school have their what we refer to as their asthma action pack ready and with them every day in school. So that's a little pack that mums and dads can put together for their kids that has information about their asthma and information for teachers in terms of how they might treat their children if their asthma is acting up on them, and indeed how to save their lives if they have an asthma attack. And in that pack too should be the relevant inhalers that their child and medication that their child needs to manage their asthma and to respond to an asthma attack.
In regards then to the smoky coal and the effects it's having, have the numbers kind of decreased over the past years, or is it kind of staying more of like a steady pattern?
Well, since its introduction, the ban of smoky coal in Dublin in 1990, and then its extension out from 2012 to those other 26 odd towns and villages around the country I mentioned, it's believed that an estimated 8,200 deaths have been prevented from this, and the European the Environmental Protection Agency, speaks in its report about the risk of premature death because of poor air quality, and it suggests that 11,180, so nearly 1,200 premature deaths a year are a result of poor air quality. So it's a really serious issue, and you'll know yourself that this is a matter for public health. It's also a matter for climate change, which has been a major issue, thankfully, recently in the papers. So there are a number of good reasons, both from a public health perspective and from climate action perspective, to reduce the amount of solid fuel burning, and also to reduce the amount of emissions that are resulting from traffic. So the Asthma Society of Ireland isn't just talking about the banning of solid fuel, but is also talking about reducing emissions from industrial and agriculture and transport sources, and investing in green infrastructure, particularly in cities, and low emission solutions to transport and housing and so forth. So there are lots of bits that the state could be doing. We took the opportunity, because it's coming into the winter months in particular, to highlight this bit around smoky coal, because as exactly as you said, people are now thinking about curling up in front of a nice cosy fire and watching their bit of TV and hibernating from the cold months ahead. So it's exactly at this time that we want people to know about the effects of smoky coal, so that they can take, they can make decisions that would keep themselves and their children and their communities more healthy, but also that the government steps in and does what it needs to do on this matter.
So you were saying earlier also that people could go online to our website to find out more information. Do you have the address for the website so the people can go and check that out?
I do indeed. That's really simple. It's asthma.ie. And if you don't mind, I might call out the number for the advice line as well.
It's free. That'd be greatly appreciated.
Thanks. So the asthma advice line is 1-800-44-54-64.
So that's 1-800-44-54-64.
That's right, exactly. And that can be called between 9 and 5. And if there isn't a nurse available to speak to you then, the nurse will call you back. And the nurse will be able to, they're specialist nurses, as I mentioned, so the nurses will be able to talk to you about what symptoms you or your child or your spouse or whatever is experiencing, and what steps they can take to improve those in the immediate term, but also talking to you about maybe questions you can go to your GP or your consultant with the next time, because sometimes those conversations are really hard to have, where as you're going along, you're aware that you're having particular symptoms or particular things are bothering you, but once you get into the GP or into the consultant's room, those conversations, those things go out of your head, and all of a sudden you're having a conversation on the spot, while the nurse can help you to run through all of those pieces and find a way of explaining them to your GP or to your consultant, so that your GP or consultant can treat you in the best possible manner.
And of course, like, it is even worse for kids and, say, older people, because either their lungs aren't fully developed or that their lungs aren't as good as they used to be. So again, so it's more so really kind of staying away from the smoky coal, kind of turning to more safer options, more green. And it's not only better for the people, it's also better for the environment as well, would it?
Absolutely, yeah.
Is there any further information you'd like to share with people?
Well, I would really love for people to go onto our website. Absolutely, if you have any problems, please call the advice line, because our nurses are amazing. And we get emails constantly from people telling us the change that the nurses have made to their lives. So really, they are an invaluable resource and a free one, which is always useful. But also, if you go onto our website, there's loads of information there around ways of managing your asthma and ways of, in an emergency, of acting to save someone's life with somebody who's having an asthma attack. So they're really important resources that you can find on our website and really worth having. And if you're a teacher and somebody in your class has asthma, or a number of the children in your class have asthma, it's really important to make sure that you are aware of how you can best look after that child and that child's health, and also to look to see that your school has an asthma management plan too, so that there's somebody in the school who, if an emergency happens, is trained and able to take care of the child in the best possible manner.
Listen, Elise, it's been very great having a chat with you this morning. Thanks so much for taking some time out of your day.
No worries. Thanks a million, Carl. I very much appreciate you having us on.
No problem at all. Take care now.